Guys, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll be in verses 8 down to 11, but I'm going to read verses 3 down to 11 just to kind of recap where we were last week to lay some groundwork for where we're headed today. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so does our consolation also abound through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effected for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and the hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of these sufferings, so also you will be partake of consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Last week we saw in 2 Corinthians, Paul just opens his heart up to the church at Corinth. Paul's honest about the fears he has and talks about his sufferings that he endures in chapter 1. Paul also recounts his suffering and his suffering experiences. And here's some things we learned about suffering. I asked a question last week, who really likes to suffer? No one likes to suffer. Who has suffered on some level, in some way, in some form, in some fashion? I think we all have. I mean, we can't get away from it. It's just part of life. Things happen. But see, there's some things that we can learn that Paul passed on to us when suffering comes our way that we can take to heart. We can have a biblical perspective of suffering. The number one thing is in verse 3, Paul says, the God of all comfort. God comforts. You know, I'm always blessed if I'm going through a hard time to have someone come up and give me a hug, give me a word of encouragement. That's always a wonderful thing. But sometimes a hug and a word of encouragement really just does not cut it, because there's some things that are so painful and so trying that we can't really reach down in our heart and get to those things. See, Paul understood and he experienced God on a very intimate level. He said he is the comforter. He comes along and he comforts. He comes along and gives us strength. He comes along and just blows us away. It's an idea of strengthening, helping, or making strong. It literally means to call to one side. Never look back the fact that God is always there to help in times of trouble. I've got to ask you a question. And this is me, okay, the majority of the time. When I'm suffering or when I'm in that type of situation, you know what I do? I sit there and think about it. I sit there and analyze it. I sit there and try to figure the thing out and try to come up with some logical explanation or this or that, instead of the most simple and mature thing that I could do is just call on God. And He's there to comfort. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God, and I will strengthen you. The Trinity, each member of the Trinity is a comfort to what we learn. The Father, you can look in 2 Corinthians 1:3, we just read it. The Son in Hebrews 2:18. The Spirit in John 16:7. God in every aspect is there to bring us comfort, strength, and help. So why do we waste our time wrestling and struggling with the thing instead of just calling on the Lord? Number two thing in verse 4, this wonderful comfort we receive is not just for ourselves, for our own relief. It is also that we can minister to those who are suffering as well, to be instruments of God's comfort. Think about that for a moment. We can't lead anybody anywhere unless ourselves have been there. We got to look at our experiences in life. You know, Fred and Carol and, and Tricia and myself and Stephanie, I'm not going to say who's the oldest in that group, okay? But we've got some, John and Stephanie, they have some life experience as well. We've been around the block a little bit. We've endured some things. And for us, one thing we always have to remember, whether we're passing something on to our kids or passing something on to you guys who are really, I mean, just think about it. You're just on the brink of experiencing a new season in life once you're out of college. Some of you are going to get married. Some of you are going to have kids. Some of you are going to get jobs. Some of you are going to relocate. All these things. I mean, that opens up a whole avenue of life, a whole different season you've never experienced before. And I think one of the most blessed things that could ever happen is that someone would come alongside and help and mentor and guide. I had someone like that in my life early on who I could go to and bounce things off of. And they did comfort and they did provide wisdom. But you know what? They had to go through some things in order to pass those things on. See, suffering's not wasted. Our circumstances are not wasted. Paul says, I want you to understand something. God's calling you to be instruments of comfort. And sometimes the things that come our way are all about someone else and really not so much about ourselves. It's not just about our own personal growth. I mean, the part of being a body of believers, being a family of believers, is coming alongside of each other in life and helping us make it through. Helping us. The number three thing we saw, but Paul had such a big picture of the view of suffering. He had God's view. And this is what he said. For as our sufferings of Christ abound in us, guess what? I draw closer to the Lord. That's what he's saying. The Lord comes through. The Lord comes closer. Even though sufferings may abound, guess what? Jesus abounds. He makes up for it. He is an instrument of mercy. Paul understood his suffering was not just about Paul and what the Lord was doing in Paul and his walk with Paul. Paul says, if we're afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation. How does that bring consolation and salvation? Because the more Paul was affected, guess what? The more he leaned upon the Lord and less upon himself. The more he was sensitive to the Lord's promptings, the more he was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you a question. How many times are we totally oblivious to what someone else is going through? They may share it with us. They're sharing. And you know what? We're just kind of just checked out of the whole conversation. We're thinking about maybe, I don't know what we're thinking about. We're thinking about maybe what we're going to do later on this afternoon. Maybe we're thinking about homework. Maybe we're thinking about donut. Maybe we're thinking about a cup of coffee. Maybe we're thinking about the fact that every time we run into this person, they just go on and on and on, just bleed all over me. We're not sensitive to the Lord's leading. If that person continually approaches and shares, that's by God's grace and by His design. And He's asking us to be a minister of comfort to that person. See, Paul learned some things. Johnny Erickson Tata said this, and you guys may know her. She's the lady that's in the wheelchair, and she's been in a wheelchair for a very long time. She was a horse rider at one time. If my memory serves me correct, she was paralyzed from the neck down from a swimming accident. She dived off into a situation, jammed her neck, and was paralyzed. Okay, I think she was 18 years old when this happened, as a teenager or whatever. 16, was it 16? So she's been in a wheelchair, and she's older than I am. I think she's now probably in her 60s. Is that right? No one knows. Okay, we'll look it up, Wikipedia it later. But she had something very interesting to say. You don't have to be alone in your hurt. Comfort is yours. Joy is an option. And it's been made possible by your Savior. He went through. He went without comfort so you might have it. He postponed joy so you might share it. He's willing to choose isolation. He was willing to choose isolation that you might ever be alone in your hurt and your sorrow. See, this is someone who's been paralyzed from the age of 16. Can you imagine what that was like? You're age 16. You have all these hopes. You have all these dreams. You have all this stuff ahead of you. And then instantly your life is changed forever. Okay? That's what she learned. How'd she learn that? Because God came alongside and comforted her in a very unique way and gave her a biblical view of these sufferings and the different things that happen. And understand something, as we're going to go through this book and as we're going to see different things, Paul is not just teaching theology. Paul experienced some things. He knew what it was like to suffer. He's talking from experience. Okay, now finally, let's get on to where we're at today. Verses 8 through 9. Trust the Lord in seasons of suffering. The man who in the scriptures that we see in Paul, he's bold, he's fearless, shares his heart about the trouble he had in Asia, the suffering he'd endured in Asia, but much more importantly, what he learned during that time. Man, when you think of the Apostle Paul, think of how bold and courageous this guy is. He's being very vulnerable right now to this group of people who really have such a small view of who he is. And listen to what he says. For I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. What type of trouble did Paul have in Asia? We're really not quite sure. But here's a few things the trouble could have been. It could have been the wild beast of Ephesus. If you remember in Acts chapter 19, verse 23 through 24, the folks in Ephesus were getting saved. And what happened when folks in Ephesus were getting saved, the idol worship industry kind of plummeted. Because people stopped worshiping their idols. And there was this guy named Demetrius, who was a silversmith who made idols. And he basically caused this riot against Paul. That could be what they're talking about. You ought to check it later. Or it could have been another set of persecution that came upon Paul before he left for Troas in 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Or it could have just been a physical ailment that he could not shake. It was just there. With you ever been physically sick for a long period of time? That is a bummer. And some scholars believe just because the tense of the text and everything that this was something that was continually occurring in what he's saying. We don't know for sure what the trouble was, but we do know what he says about the trouble that was pushed upon him. He despaired upon his life. It was beyond measure and beyond strength. I've never struggled with depression. Now, I've been down before. I've been bummed out before. But to really be depressed and not get out of bed, I've never struggled with that. I've been blessed for most of my life to be healthy. I've never necessarily struggled with serious physical ailments, praise God. There's a lot of things I've never really, really struggled with. But you know what? I have been low before. And I have been low beyond my own strength before. And I don't think anybody in this room has not been in the same set of circumstances. See, when we talk about suffering, we don't compare sufferings. Okay? We don't compare sufferings. Because just think about it. You know, I shared with you this morning before we got going was what makes a good movie? And I heard some real bummer, okay, answers, you know. But then I heard some real good ones. It was a plot. It was someone who wrote a good script, who developed great characters. But in order, if you're going to bring that to life within the confines of a movie, the actors really have to embrace that part and bring that part to life. And the whole point of that whole little scenario was to understand that God is fashioning a wonderful story with each of us, with different nooks and turns and twists. And we don't necessarily know how the story is going to completely unfold. We do know how it's going to end if we're in Christ today. We're going to go home to be with the Lord. Okay? Some of you guys, who reads books and looks and reads the very end to find out? Praise God. Thank you. I like to read the whole book. I don't want to read the ending. Yeah, read the ending first, you know, before you read the whole book. I'm sorry. But you get the point. But this is one story we know how it ends if we're in Christ, if we're saved. We're going to go home to be with the Lord, or the Lord's going to come back for us. Now, here's the point. Guys, embrace the story God's writing. Embrace it. Trust Him in it. All the nooks, all the crannies. That's what Paul did. He had trouble in Asia. It was beyond measure. It was above strength. So point that he even despaired even to death. Okay, this is the bold apostle Paul. This is the fearless Paul. This is the mature Christian Paul. He was in a set of circumstances that was beyond him to endure. I think one of the biggest bummers is when people just tell you to suck it up. Because sometimes in life, you just can't suck it up. Sometimes if, let's say you're sharing something you're really suffering with, how discouraging is it for you if I just blow that off and tell you that's nothing? See, because part of the story that God's writing in each of us is He kind of tailor-made different seasons in our life to help us become more like Christ. So my sufferings that may be painful may not necessarily be your sufferings that are painful. And your sufferings that may be painful might not necessarily be my sufferings that may be painful. But what are we called to do? We're called to walk with each other. We're called to encourage each other. That's what Paul's saying. I mean, Paul, think about this. The guy that wrote most of the New Testament. He says, I was beyond measure, above strength, so that we even despaired unto life. What did Paul learn in this season? Okay, this is what's important. He's not sharing this with the church at Corinth so they'll feel sorry for him and sympathize with him. He's sharing this with the church at Corinth to share with them what he had learned in suffering the way in which he suffered. He learned to trust in God alone. You mean to tell me Paul had to learn that? Think about that for a minute. Paul had to learn that? I want to ask you a question. How many of us have learned that? You know, because here's the thing I share with you. You know, usually when I find myself suffering or struggling or just kind of muddling through something, I spend all my time analyzing it. Spend all my time trying to figure the thing out. Spend all of my time looking for a way out. Instead of simply doing the most simple, basic Sunday school thing, trust God with it. Trust that He's going to work the thing out. Trust that He's going to carry me through. There's only so much we can endure in our own strength. We need Jesus to make it through every day. We need Him. Is that not what we read over and over and over and over again in the Psalms? You just read the Psalms. These guys start out, oh, it's horrible, it's horrible. Oh no. And then finally they start what? At the very end of the Psalm, they praise the Lord. Psalm 71, verse 1 through 6 says, In You, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in Your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I can resort continually. You have given me the commandment to save me, for You are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous, the cruel man, for You are my hope. O Lord God, You are my trust from my youth. By You I've been upheld from birth. You are He who took me out of my mother's womb, and my praise shall continually be on You. Trust the Lord. Trust the author of the story that He's writing. Trust Him. And here's the thing. We know how it's going to end if we're in Christ. We know how it's going to end. We know where we're going to go. We know that Jesus is going to come back if we don't go home to be with the Lord. So let's trust Him. Verse 9, Paul's not talking. Now listen to what he says here. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves but God. See, Paul's not talking about a sentence a court law has passed down on him. Paul is talking about what was going on inside of him, and it was death. And I think we all know what Paul is talking about here. We all have probably felt in some way or shape or form in our life, we have just felt crushed on the inside because the pain was so intense. I think emotional pain is a heck of a lot harder than physical pain. Physical pain's hard. But the thing about physical pain, man, you can get some morphine. You can get some painkiller. Emotional pain, even if you take something to dull it, it's still there. You wake up with it. You ever had that heaviness in your heart? You wake up with it the next morning and it aches and it hurts and it's painful and you suffer in that way. Paul's not talking about some sentence that a court of law passed on him. He's talking about what was going on inside of his heart. He's being vulnerable to these guys. You don't miss that. From all of our time in 1 Corinthians, we kind of get a picture of what the church of Corinth thought about Paul. But here is Paul, the bold apostle, talking about the tribulation which occurred to him in Asia and the fact that it was very painful for him. And he's sharing this with them to let them kind of get keyed in on the fact that I want you to understand what I learned. I learned to trust in God. So why is he sharing that with them? To encourage them to do what? Trust in God as well. Hudson Taylor said this, "Every day and every hour, the consciousness of failure and sin has oppressed me. I really believe this with all of my heart. If we attempt to do great things with God," I don't want to say do great things for God. Really, what are we going to do for God? But we can attempt to do great things with God. Expect some pain. Expect it. Don't shy away from it. Read any Christian biography that the Lord used someone in a grand, big way. There was usually some pain involved. It's just the way it is. Question, who in this room is where Paul was at in Asia? Burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that I despaired even to death. Maybe on the outside it's business as usual, but on the inside it's just dark and it's painful. Maybe our heart's cry today is like the prayer of the Puritan. I'm sadly harassed by doubts and fears and unbelief and in a felt spiritual darkness. My heart is full of evil surmising and disquietude. And I cannot act in faith at all. My heavenly pilot has disappeared, and I've lost my hold on the rock of ages. I sink in the deep mire beneath the storms and the waves in horror, distress, and unutterable. Remember, Paul's sharing this about his life so he can share some good news, and that's where we're going to finish today. Because you're just like, are you going to just keep talking about the darkness and the pain and the rah, 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 rah? No, we're going to talk about some good news. Look at the tail end. Look at the tail end of what he says here. But in God who raises the dead. Paul's going to talk about resurrection. The beauty of the resurrection in the here and the now and in the future. Verse 10 is good news because God is a deliverer. Look at what he says. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, and whom we can trust that he will still deliver us. Who delivers us from a great death. Never forget how God delivered us from our past. Think about that just for a moment. He was there. He was faithful. He was just, and he took care of business. Before Jesus, we were headed in the wrong direction, in a direction that led to death. We've been given life through Christ, and indeed, if he is our Savior, and we are saved here today, and if you're not saved, you know you're not saved, because God's saying, hey, you're not saved. I love Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Not only have we received eternal life in Christ, but did the Lord not restore us from our past? That's part of deliverance too, and think about that. Do we not see that in the thread of Scriptures over and over and over and over again? God's a deliverer from our past. Sometimes people get just caught in this time warp, and they spend way more time looking in the rearview mirror instead of looking ahead in what God has to offer and what He's wanting to do. I love Joel 2, verse 25. So I'll restore to the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be put to shame. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. For all things are made new in Christ Jesus. I love the fact that he takes those seasons of maybe defeat, those seasons of maybe pain, and he turns them to something incredibly beautiful. Just look at where your life is today. So separated from our past. The past is not nearly as painful as it used to be, or it shouldn't be anyway, and I'd encourage you to not let it be. He's a deliverer. But not only does he deliver us from our past, look what he says here. He still delivers us. God also delivers us from our present. That's good news to hear this morning. What's going on in our lives right now? Well, the Lord will not hang us out to dry. He will come through in His time and His way, and we'll be better for it in the end. Because see, our past, God's past faithfulness, is evidence of His present faithfulness. And that's what we need to remember. Romans 8:35-37 says, "Who shall persecute you? Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword, as is written, for your sakes we're killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us." See, Paul learned something incredible with his trouble in Asia. And his ministry in Asia, if you recount it and you read it, was a very dynamic and a very powerful ministry that took place there. Remember, he stayed there 3 years. But also, guess what came his way? There came some persecution. There came some pain. There was some pain involved. And during his time in Ephesus, if that was indeed the trouble that he is speaking of, he learned to trust in God alone. But let's be honest with each other. We can make it pretty good, can't we? Evidence is how often do we make it pretty good without God. You know, there's not anything wrong with panic prayers. Praise God, we run to God when things get rough. But why does it have to get to that point? How many times have we been in a set of circumstances and we may not have verbalized it, but we said, I've got this. I've got this. You know, I thought potty training would be very easy. And those who have kids are laughing because they're like, what, are you an idiot? But my son, I never thought he was going to get it. I mean, what do you do, you know, to train him on this thing? And it just finally clicked. It just finally clicked. How many times have we thought, wow, man, I got this. This is no big deal. And how many times have we figured out that, you know what, no, I really don't have this. This is a pretty big deal. God delivers us from our present. What's going on presently right now in your life? What's going on? Let's get real here. My encouragement to you, my encouragement to myself is run to God. Allow Him to be the comforter He needs to be. And trust that, you know what? He's not going to leave us here. He's not going to leave us hanging here. He will carry us through. Look how He carried us through last year, the year before that, the year before that, and the year before that. Verse 10, look at this. Not only is He a God that delivers from our past and our present, but trust He will deliver, He will still deliver us, our future. How do we know that beyond what we read in Scripture? How do we know that? Look at our past. I want to remind you, look at our past. Has the Lord not been faithful to deliver time and time and time and time again? I love Romans 8:38-39. For I'm persuaded that neither the death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is it so hard for us to buy into the fact God just simply loves us? Oh, I know that He loves me. Why do we get kind of wigged? Why do we get wigged about the future? Maybe wigged about the present. Man, God loves us in the story. There's security in that. He's not fickle. He's not flaky. That's who He is. Listen to what John Corson says, just to kind of drive this point home as we look at God, a deliverer. God delivered us in the past. He does deliver us in the present. He will deliver us in the future. Think about it, the things that were bothering you a year ago, how you thought it was all over. This is never going to work out. I'm toast. Then look at where you are today. Unless we really stop and search our memories, most of us don't even remember the things we thought we were going to do in us and wipe us out a few months ago. Why? Because the Lord delivered us. He saw us through. He's faithful. I believe one of the biggest obstacles in our spiritual growth is our tendency to forget how the Lord sees us through all the times we think things could never work out. Who keeps a journal? I always know that girls will probably raise their hand on that, you know. I go through seasons of keeping a journal. I go through seasons of keeping a journal. I like to be more diligent on it, but but I'm just not that way. I just seasonally do it. But the times that I have seasonally kept a journal, I go back and reread it, and I'm thinking, are you serious? You were really stressed about that? Are you serious? You were really concerned and consumed and wigged and terrified and all these things over that? I've totally forgot about that. You know, in my Hindi, I mean, if you've ever seen me write, I mean, it's hen scratch. It's really bad. I can barely decipher it if I reread it. But God's so faithful. God's so faithful. And if you just want to hear just one thing and take one thing home this morning, look at your past and weigh that against the present and embrace the future. Let Him write the story. Embrace the story. Don't be lukewarm about the story. Don't compare, well, this person's got a better script than me. Don't do that. It's a waste of time. God's uniquely doing wonderful things in each of our lives in which He is going to get glory for it. Just be His kid. You know, I don't love Abigail any more than I love Jonathan. I love them equally both for different reasons because they're different individuals. Just embrace the story. Last thing we need to embrace is verse 11. Yes, God does deliver His kids out of trouble, past, present, and future. But here's the deal. If we know a brother or sister is in trouble, listen to what Paul says. After he's just laid his heart out to these folks, he says, you also helping together in prayer for us. Pray for me. Pray for us. That thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Paul was not too proud to ask for prayer. That totally bums me out when I say, hey, does anybody need anything to pray about? Anything we can pray over you? And folks say, sometimes yes, sometimes no. And sometimes I know via the Holy Spirit that there's got to be something there. Let's pray about this thing. Let's lift it up to the Lord. And think about who Paul is asking to pray for him. The folks that have such little regard for him. Is that so contrary to our ego? That I'm going to be vulnerable to folks who have such small regard for me? That's not Paul. Paul's like, you know what? I'm sharing you my heart. I'm sharing what's going on. And I want you to pray for us together. And in the end, guess what's going to happen? When God answers that prayer, it's going to build you up because you've been praying. That's one of the beautiful things about prayer. Seeing God answer prayer. And doesn't it change our hearts when we pray and intercede for other folks that maybe we think are just such small regard? The way we look at them, the way we think about them. Prayer is a part of the process God uses to deliver us. Think about that. That's one of the main things that I pray that we will always be a group of folks that pray and call on God and watch what He'll do and see how He'll do it. So many times we try to figure out how it's going to get done instead of focusing on who can get it done. And that's the Lord. See, there's something about a group of folks that when they have an issue, they can bring it forward and say, hey, you pray with me. You surround the folks. You lift those things up. We're in this thing together. It bonds. It binds. It encourages. And then as a group, when God answers that, it grows our faith. And God gets all the glory. That's what Paul is saying. You remember the story in Acts chapter 12? Peter, he's in prison. Okay, remember he's in prison. Herod's whacked out again, throws him in prison. And it says the church continually made prayer for Peter, just continually praying for him. Okay, Peter's in prison. He's got two Roman guards kind of shackled to him here. He's knocked out. He's sleeping. Okay, the next day it looks like he's probably going to be executed. He's conked out. He's sleeping and an angel comes in there. Let's go. And he thinks he's in a dream, you know. Shackles fall off. I mean, he's so comfortable. Hey, the angel's like, hey, don't forget your cloak. Puts his cloak on, you know. And then they walk out. And then they walk out of the gate. And you know the rest of the story. The church is still praying for Peter. that the Lord would deliver Peter. Okay, middle of prayer service. Okay, who's bugging us, you know? Little girl goes back there. Who is it? It's Peter. No, no, it's not. Yeah, left him. Went back praying. And you know the rest of the story. Peter comes in and everyone was astonished. Built their faith up. That's what prayer does. Paul says, pray for me. See, God's way of delivering is through prayer too as well. He does the miraculous. He comes by and he comforts, he strengthens. But man, is it not awesome to see? You know, we've seen some pretty cool things happen here just through prayer. And it's not like, you know, we got the thing, you know, the book cornered on prayer here, okay? That's not it. God does that for all of His kids. He does it for all of His kids. But are we leaving off praying for each other? Oswald Chambers said, without intercession, someone will be impoverished. We need to pray for each other. Guys, we are called as brothers or sisters in Christ to walk through life together, to share our lives together. We need to share our pain with each other. The great apostle Paul had no problem being open about his pain to a group of folks who really did not think much about him. And on top of all that, he had no problem asking for prayer from them. That's humility. Pray for me. I don't have this. So what can we take home this morning? Just three things. Remember, when we're at the end of our rope, we're right where we need to be. There's no better place to be. Trusting in God alone and not ourselves. What a wonderful thing when we get to the end of resources we think we have and God's just still there waiting. Let's be a group of people, okay? Let's be a group of people growing in our faith that we don't wait. That we immediately turn to God. And seek His heart and seek His counsel and seek His strength. Let's don't put it off. Don't wrestle with it. Don't lose any more sleep over it. How many times have you woke up at 4 or 3 in the morning and you can't sleep and you're thinking about the thing? Pray. Draw near to the Lord. You know what? And then just go back to sleep like Peter. Number two, and this is very important. I want everybody to hear this. Some of us are focusing on our past. That's where we've been, and we've been there a long time. Some of us are so focused on the present, and we can't see what God's doing in the present. And some of us are so wigged out on the future. Paul learned this. God delivers past, present, and future. Just look over the course of our lives, and is that not true? Embrace the stories writing. Don't check out. Don't say, oh, I wished I had a different script. Make the most out of it. Make the most. Number three, let's be open with each other and let's pray for each other. Prayer is one of the ways God chooses to deliver. You know, I can sometimes discern that, hey, I need to be praying for this person, and that's all cool. God knows the situation. But I want to tell you something. When we're open and we're willing to be vulnerable and we're willing to say, hey, can you pray for me? You know what? You grow in a unique way. You grow in a unique way. You grow in a humble way. You draw closer to the Lord. And that's maturity. See, we think maturity is, well, I've got this covered. I've got this all figured out. That's not maturity. That wasn't Paul's heart. Paul said, this is my pain, this is where I'm at, this is what I've learned, and I want you guys to pray for me. Pray for us. So let's be a people of prayer, concerned about what's going on in each of our lives. Concerned about what's going on in each of our lives. Concerned about what's going on in each of our lives. Concerned about what's going on in each of our lives. Concerned about what's going on in each of our lives.